Well, it's coming up on summertime, travel time. Of course, people travel all through the year. There are lots of popular destinations. It depends on what you're wanting to do. If you're going to go snow skiing, you have to go up in the wintertime, and Vail or somewhere like that, Aspen maybe, is the places that are hot spots for skiing, Lake Tahoe maybe. But if you want to go to an amusement park, certainly Disney World and Disneyland are the big ones. Poor Six Flags comes in down there down the list, and all amusement parks are big destinations. Some people want to go to the beach or to the mountains or whatever it might be. They have these destinations, of course, worldwide. There are places people want to go. They want to go see the pyramids, or they want to go see the Eiffel Tower, or something of that nature. There are lots of things that people want to do, and places that people want to go. But do you know what eternity's most popular destination is? You probably do. If you've listened to Jesus, He explained it to us. I don't know why everyone seems to want to spend eternity there, but let's examine all the things that make hell such a desirable destination for so many people. That's where they want to go for eternity, or at least that's where they are going. Mark chapter 9 and verses 43 through 48, Jesus says, "If your hand offends you, cut it off. It is better for thee to go into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Now, if you listen to that description of hell that Jesus gives, it doesn't really sound like a very pleasant place, does it? It doesn't sound like the kind of place that people would really be wanting to go. He compared it to a burning garbage dump that they had outside the city of Jerusalem called Gehenna. It was a valley that originally people had sacrificed their children there, and then they had torn down those idols when they went back to worshiping God, and they turned it into a dump. Nobody wanted to build their house there, nobody wanted to live near there because of what it had been in the past, and so they just threw all their trash there, and the fires burned there, just like in many dumps. And that's the kind of place that Jesus compares hell to. That's the name that He gives to what this place of will be. And in fact, He says that it would be better to maim your physical body, to cut off a body part, than to go visit that place and live there. You know, sometimes we think about things and we sometimes make statements like, "Well, I'd rather go have a root canal than do that." Well, Jesus says, you'd rather have an amputation. You'd rather have an eye jabbed out, have an arm or leg cut off than to go here. Why is it that so many people want to go there? He says it's a place you can never leave. The fire will never go out, and even death can't rescue you from it. You know, people oftentimes will describe their life and the misery that they're suffering on earth, and they'll say, it's like hell on earth. But it's not, because see, whatever you're going through here on this earth, if you die, that comes to an end. But hell truly has no end. The fire is continual, it will not be quenched. And notice He says, where their worm dieth not. And He said, even you can't even escape it by dying to get away from it. You know, many times people escape some horrible situation on earth by death. Now, sometimes they wind up in this worse situation. So after Jesus' description of this place, why would anyone want to go there? Well, I found a few things. that some people might find desirable about hell. Hell might seem desirable for people who love darkness. Matthew 25:30 says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So some folks just like darkness. They hate the light. Maybe they're sensitive to the light, so they don't want to be around the light. Well, hell's the right place then, because there's no light. It's outer darkness, Jesus says. Well, hell might seem desirable for people who are fascinated by fire. Now, there's some people who, boy, they really get into fire. They really think fire is a special thing. Well, hell is a place of fire. Matthew 3:12 says, "His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now, they might really, unquenchable fire. You know, most fires that exist can be put out. Some fires can be put out just by blowing them out like a candle. Some can be put out with water like a campfire, a wood fire. Some, we have chemical agents that are in a fire extinguisher to put out grease fires and that kind of a thing, electrical fires and things, and it smothers that fire and it puts it out. But oh, some folks might really like to go find a fire that can't be put out. They might like hell then. And you know, it might seem desirable for some people who enjoy pain. Matthew 13:42 says, "Shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." You ever burn yourself? It hurts, doesn't it? I mean, just touching just for a second, a hot skillet or something like that, and you get blisters, and the burning, oh, it hurts. But some people, I guess, like pain. Some people enjoy being hurt. Seems strange, I know, and it probably is really a mental condition where they're mentally unstable to like that, but some people do like pain, so maybe they would enjoy being thrown into a fire that burns them. And then hell might seem desirable for people who hate good. You know, people that say, "Oh, you goody two shoes, you're too good for your own, you're too good." Well, if they hate good, then this might be the place for them. Luke 13:27-28 says, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." So if you don't want to be around Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you don't want to be around the prophets, oh, especially, you know, people don't like a prophet telling them that sin is sin and that they're doing things wrong. They don't like to hear that. So, well, in hell, you won't have to hear that. Won't be any prophets there telling you to repent or telling you to quit doing your evil things. Because the prophets are going to be in the kingdom of God with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So someone who hates good might enjoy this place. Someone who wants lots of evil companions. Now some people seem to like evil companions. That's who they hang out with. That's who they spend their time with. They find some of the most wicked, vile human beings, and that's their friends. And so for those people, hell's the place. And they'll have lots of companionship. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." So, lots of people going that way. You'll have lots of company. Maybe, you know, you don't like being in a small group. You'd rather be in a large crowd. Well, hell's the place. There's going to be a lot of people there. Maybe for those who want no mercy, those who are unmerciful, and they won't show mercy and they don't want mercy. James 2:13 says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy." And mercy rejoices against judgment. The Bible explains that hell is a place where the wrath of God is poured out without mixture. There is no mercy, there is no grace, there is no love mixed in. It is just purely the wrath of God. So for those who don't want mercy, it's the right place. For those who never want to rest, I don't. Some people seem like they're busy, busy, busy. They don't ever want to slow down. The little ones, especially, boy, they don't want to stop and take a nap. They don't want to go to bed at night. They play, 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 run, 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 go busy, busy, busy. And sometimes as adults, we're kind of the same way. Maybe there's somebody out there that just never wants a rest. Revelation 14, 9 through 11 says, "The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation.'" We mentioned that just a moment ago. "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." No rest! Can you imagine? You ever missed a night's sleep? Ever missed two nights in a row? Or three? Oh, you ever been exhausted and just wanted to rest? Some folks, I think that's why they come to church on Sunday morning, so they can get a nap. They want some rest. They sleep through the sermon. But that, you know what it's like to just want to rest. Even have you ever been doing something strenuous and you didn't necessarily want to sleep, but you just said, I need to sit down and rest for a minute. Well, there'll be none of that in hell. There'll be no beds, there'll be no couches, there'll be no comfort, no rest. Might appeal to somebody. But then the eighth thing we want to notice is that hell might seem desirable for people who expect to have the best now without having to pay for it until later. Have the best now and not pay until later. That's what everybody wants, don't they? I mean, that's why we buy everything, you know, buy the car now and make payments later. You know, 6 months, no interest, no payments. You know, you can have it till next year and you don't have to pay till next year with the furniture ads and these kind of things. Isn't that why we do that? We want to have it now, but not pay until later. Well, some people are doing that in the spiritual realm. They want to have everything now and not have to pay until later. They don't realize, though, that interest is going to add up and the payment's going to be more than they can afford. Luke 16 and verse 25, Abraham said to the rich man, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime received the good things and Lazarus the evil things, but now he's comforted and you're tormented." Yeah, we can have it all now. We can have all the pleasures of life, but we'll have to pay for it. The bill will come due, and there will be no claiming bankruptcy to get out of it. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We're going to pay. And some people might like it. They may think it's a good trade. I'm going to enjoy my life now and I'll worry about paying for it later. Well, there are those who may enjoy hell. They may think it's desirable because they don't want any rules in life. You ever had somebody say, "Well, you can't tell me what to do"? Well, that's just what they need then. Romans chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9 says, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile." Live your life now without any rules. Do whatever you want. That's fine. You'll get to spend some time in hell if you do that. But then, hell might seem desirable for people who mistakenly think they can have a position of power there. There's an old quote, I don't remember who said it, but he said, better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. But he's a little bit confused. There is no ruling in hell. Hell is a place where God sends people to be punished. It is not a place. Some people think, and we see this sometimes in movies and cartoons and different things, they show the devil down there enjoying the flames, and he's poking everybody with his pitchfork, and he's making them suffer, but he's enjoying the good life. That's not the way the Bible describes hell. But some mistakenly think that that's the way it's going to be, and so they think they want to go there. Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. Says, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. God is the one who has the power to cast into hell. The devil doesn't have any power. The devil's going to be thrown in with everybody else. Jesus said that this was the place prepared for the devil and his angels. It's a place of punishment for them. They're not going to be punishing other people. They're going to be experiencing punishment themselves. But some don't think about it that way. They think, oh yeah, I'll get there and I'll just run the place. They may compare it to some of the prisons where the inmates run the prison and the guards are all scared of them. But it's not like that. It's not like that at all. But they may think it's a desirable place for that reason. And then hell might seem desirable for people who want an easy trip. You know, a lot of us travel, but we don't necessarily like traveling. Traveling can be tedious, it can be difficult planning ahead, it can be expensive. You know, there can be a lot of problems, a lot of troubles along the way. You know, we just want to have an easy trip. Now, that's why a lot of people fly, or used to anyway. It's not as easy as it used to be. They say, well, you know, I can get there a lot faster, and boy, it's great. I can just fly and whew, be right there. And of course, now they have all the TSA requirements and all the things they do to you. People, you have to get there an hour early and all that kind of thing. And so a lot of people are kind of turned off on flying now. I never was a big fan of flying. I always thought if God wanted people to fly, He would have given us wings. But you know, people want an easy trip. They go to someone who is a person who arranges the trip for them, so that it can all be easy. It all can be taken care of. People want to go on a cruise and have everything. You know, the food's taken care of and the bed's made for them and everything. And boy, they don't have to worry about anything. Just ride along and enjoy the trip and get seasick. But other than that, it's an easy trip. Well, hell might seem desirable for people who want an easy trip because it's the easy trip. In fact, it's so easy, the Bible tells us so many simple things that can get us there. Getting angry and calling people fools all the time. Matthew 5:22 tells us. Jesus said, if you say, thou fool, you shall be in danger of hellfire. Saying, Lord, Lord, but not doing anything. Or just not doing anything at all. You don't even have to say, Lord, Lord, if you don't want to. You can get there. It's easy. Matthew 7:21. Live however you want. Do whatever you want. Revelation 21:8. You can be an unbeliever. You can be a murderer, a whoremonger, a sorcerer, an idolater, a liar. Easy, isn't it? You don't have to, we've talked about moderation in class this morning. You don't have to practice any moderation. You just do whatever you want to do. And you can get there. Don't think about God or His rules. You know, nobody likes to think about rules and commandments and things. So just don't think about it. Romans 1, 28 through 32 said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And they were filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, implacable. Wow. Yes, that's pretty easy. You don't have to worry about all those rules. Don't have to worry about, well, the Bible says, oh, I don't worry about that. See, it's easy. You don't have to study. You don't have to read the Bible. Nothing. Just relax and go along for the ride. Easy trip. And then, those that want to live as unrighteously as they want to, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Those who want to do whatever pleases the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Those who want to know nothing about God and do nothing to please God, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 says, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So it's easy. Just don't bother to even know about God, much less obey Him. And you're as good as there. The trip is so easy. Be selfish and unconcerned with others. Just think about yourself. Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. He shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, why? What? Boy, they must have really worked at it for him to say that. No. No, in fact, he says, I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you didn't visit me. But see how easy it is? Just do nothing. Don't worry about, you know, oh, other people are suffering, they're having problems, they need help. Ah, not my problem. I just got to take care of number one. It's easy to make this trip. Don't have to do anything. You know, it seems like such a popular destination, and it seems so easy to get there. But the people who are on their way, there's one thing we need to realize. They've never been there. They may think that they really want to live the way they're living, and they may wind up there and they're not worried about it. But the only reason they think that is because they've never been. In fact, anyone who has been there would quickly warn you, stay away. You don't want to come here. You know, we talked about being selfish and unconcerned with others. It's interesting. In Luke 16, we mentioned a verse from Luke 16 earlier about the rich man. When he woke up and he was in torment in those flames, you know, it's interesting. His whole perspective changed. Notice what he says in verse 28 of Luke 16. I have five brethren. He said, send Lazarus back that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now he's the only person that we ever have record of in the Bible that actually experienced what hell was like. Nobody else that talks about it's ever been there. He'd been there, and you know what he said after being there for a little bit? I don't want anybody else to come here. I don't want my family to come here. Send somebody to warn them so they won't wind up here like I am. You know, sometimes when staying with someone and teaching them what the Bible says about what they need to do to obey the gospel and to please God, and they'll say, well, my mama or my daddy or somebody, you know, so-and-so didn't do that. Are you saying they're in hell? Says, I would tell them, I'm not saying anything about where they are. The Bible tells you what to do to avoid going there. And I'll tell them two things. If that parent, loved one, whoever it is in heaven, they would want you to do what the Bible says you need to do to get there. If they're in hell, they would want you to do what the Bible says to do so you don't come there. So either way, anybody who's been to heaven wants everybody else to come there. Anybody who's been to hell doesn't want anybody else to have to come there. That selfishness that they experienced during their life. See, this rich man, remember, during his lifetime he received the good things and Lazarus got nothing. Lazarus was begging for the crumbs off his table and he wouldn't even let him have the crumbs. He was unconcerned. But now that he's in the fire, things are different. Now, we've got these people talking, oh, there is no hell, don't worry about it. Ran a big campaign in England. Some of the atheists put billboards up on all the buses and the stations, metro stations, all that kind of thing. Put them up saying, there's probably no God, there's probably no hell, don't worry about it, enjoy your life. Well, you better be sure about that. Because if you're wrong... Well, what we've seen is all the people who are telling us not to worry about hell, well, they've never been there yet. The man who'd been there said, you better worry about it. Don't come here. And Jesus, who knows about hell because he helped in the creation of it as a place to punish the devil and his angels, he says, you don't want to go there. Here's how bad it is. And he explains to us how bad that place is. So we got a question that we need to answer. Are we going to listen to the people who've never been there? Or are we going to listen to the ones who know what they're talking about? The man who's been there and the man who made it. I think we should probably listen to the ones who know what they're talking about. You know, we do that with vacation trips that we make, or if we're thinking about moving somewhere. You know, when we're going to go somewhere on vacation or we're going to move to a new place, we don't ask somebody who's never been there and doesn't know anything about it. You know, if I'm going to take that trip to Disney World with the kids, I'm going to ask somebody who's been there. Well, what's the best rides and where's the best place to stay and how's the best way to get there? I'm not going to ask somebody who doesn't know where Disney World even is. I'm not going to ask that person. Yes, without a doubt, hell is eternity's most popular destination. But I'm here to let you know this morning, the Bible makes it clear. It may be the most popular, but it is not the most desirable. It's not the best. You know, popular doesn't equal best. Sometimes we think it does. Sometimes we think, well, if everybody's doing it, everybody's going, it must be the best place to go. You ever had that happen? There was a restaurant or a store that everybody went to and you thought, wow, it must be the place to go. And then you go there and you're like, why did everybody want to come here? It's not any good. Now, sometimes people are right. It's a good place. But a lot of times, why does they want to come to this place? It's not any good. Popular doesn't always mean best. And in the case of eternal destinations, popular is the worst. We need to make every effort to go to the best place for eternity, the one where the light is, the one where the joy and happiness is, the one where there's not flames of fire, the ones where there's not darkness for eternity, the one where there's not pain and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We need to trust God to know what's right for us and then to follow His commandments to get to the place that is the right place to go instead of just going along with the crowd to the most popular one. If you need to respond to God's invitation, perhaps you've got things in your life that are leading you down a path that will head toward hell. You don't want to go there. The good thing about it is it doesn't matter if you've got the reservation. It can be canceled and you can make reservations for heaven. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess Him as the Christ, and be baptized to wash your sins away, you can do that this morning. If you're a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been living as you should, you've allowed selfishness or unrighteousness to enter your life, you can get that out and you can get back on the road to heaven again and avoid that eternal destination that may be so popular but is so unpleasant. If you need to respond to God's invitation, please do so as we stand and as we sing.